If you have your Bibles, make your way to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, as we continue our series in the parables. Matthew chapter 13. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell on among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then Jesus goes on to explain this parable in verse 18. Here, then, this is what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in their heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet there was no root in himself, but endures for a little while, and when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for the one sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for the one that was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. I'm going to dive right into it this morning in our study of the parables. And we're going to go right into the sower. What is the job of a sower? Well, here's a little picture for you of what a sower does in biblical times. In the parable, of course, the sower is the farmer who is casting seeds into a field. It's called broadcasting. Job of the farmer is to sow. If a farmer doesn't sow, there's no harvest, right? A farmer casts his seeds into the field with a hope that some of it will fall on good soil. He casts his seed with the expectation that there will be more in return. The sower has one goal: to get that seed in the ground so that the harvest can come. The farmer's job, his sacrifice, is to give something away before that he could ever expect anything in return. He takes the precious seed that he saved from the last harvest and he casts it into a soil. Jesus is the ultimate sower. He gave his life that we might believe the gospel seed that was cast into the soil of our hearts. He died on a cross. He rose again, literally giving his all, knowing that some seed would fall on good soil and a great harvest would come back and be with him in heaven. What a job. What a job a sower has. What a job Jesus accomplished. And we continue that work. See, by extension, anyone who has received the gospel seed is a sower for Jesus. You have the privilege of sowing this seed yourself. Our job is to carry the message of Jesus and what he delivered. This is our job. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus told us this is our job. He says right before he goes to heaven, he says, go. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of this age. We are the sowers now. Our sacrifice is the rejection from people. We go out and do this job no matter what anybody says about Jesus or ourselves. Jesus told us that in Matthew chapter 5, just as a reminder, again, blessed are you when others revile you or persecute you or utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted you, or so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The job of the sower, it doesn't matter what people say about us, what they say about Jesus. Our job is to cast the seed. We must be like Jesus. And so, do the work like a farmer does. Accept the sacrifice and reap a harvest. Let's go to the seed. The seed is very clear. It's the word of God. Look at verses 18 and 19 with me. Jesus says, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God and does not understand it. Now this parable is actually in Mark and in Luke. And specifically in Mark and Luke, we see that illustration played out in their explanation. For example, in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, in Mark's gospel, here's what he explains. The sower sows the word. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So Jesus himself is identifying that the seed is the very words of God. When a farmer walks in his field with his seed bag, he held in him his greatest treasure. 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked on this world with a treasure. He came to give us the gospel of grace. When Jesus cast this seed of the gospel, he did so knowing it would accomplish his very will. Isaiah prophesied about this in Isaiah 55. He says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the very thing which I sent it. The treasure of God's word is so foundational to our salvation and our sanctification. The word of Jesus is our very authority. The apostles knew this, the treasure of God's word, the seed. In Romans chapter 10, Paul said it this way, how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Listen, verse 17, So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ. Peter would say the same thing regarding our growth. Our knowledge of Jesus comes through the Word of God, through salvation, but that continues his words in our sanctification. Peter writes, his divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? The knowledge of him. How do you know about him? Through the Word, who has called us to his own glory and excellence. And then Paul again, in his letter to Timothy, reminds him of the impact of God's Word. For he says to Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God. For what reason? It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God, this is for the believer, so the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. The seed is the Word of God. And so, thus our application is this. God's Word holds all the power when we sow. Our opinions, they don't matter. God's Word is what matters. So stick to it. His Word is the authority regarding our salvation, how to be saved. And our sanctification, how do we grow? As sowers, we have to use God's Word. If the seed is bad, farmers, gardeners, if the seed is bad, nothing comes up. Do you know it's bad when you throw it? Have you ever gardened and planted a seed and nothing came up? I don't know. My wife does that. The idea is the sower is only as good as the seed. If you put bad seeds in the ground, I don't care how great the ground is. Nothing's coming up. It's like counseling somebody without God's Word. Wondering why there's no change in their life. Wondering why there's no hope from your counseling. Because the seed is bad. Our job is to point people to the Word of God. We must be wise sowers. We must be wise because there are well-meaning religious people who distort the gospel. Make it about our actions. They don't want to talk about sin. Just leave that part out. It makes people feel bad. Let's just talk about Jesus' love. Our job is to cast good seeds. And that is the Word of God. Each good seed has a potential to reproduce itself many times over. Seed always holds the promise. But it has to be a good seed. So let's spend some more time in the soils. There are four different soils here that the sower is casting seed into. And he's casting good seed into. These four soils are the testimony of someone who hears the words of God. These four soils represent any of us in this room. So listen well. The sower cast a good seed into first a hard soil. Look at verses 4 and 19. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. The explanation is found in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Some of your translation call this the wayward path. What it refers to is this narrow footpath. Those of you who are like to go out into the wilderness, maybe you do some hunting. How do you know where a deer has been or their trail has been? Well, often you know that because they've worn down a path. And nothing grows on that path, not even weeds. Because it is such a battered path, it's hard, and nothing grows on it. It's like concrete. When seed falls on this kind of ground, nothing can penetrate this soil. And so the seed just remains there on top for birds to come and eat it. Now, we are told by Jesus that this is a person who hears the gospel, but he doesn't understand it. That's what verse 19 says. That is, they cannot make the connection between the claims of the gospel that they're sinners, that they're not good enough to get into heaven, with their own life. They can't make the connection. Maybe they're so steeped in sin, they just refuse to believe. Or maybe by some of those religious leaders, they're taught that if you just love people, you get to go to heaven. That sounds better. Let's just do that one. Maybe they are so calloused and cold towards the things of God that they just refuse the gospel. That was me for 26 years of my life. Maybe they've been so hardened in their hearts for years and years. They've heard the gospel so many times, but their heart has been trampled underfoot and they're just hard-hearted. They hear the gospel and they just dismiss it. It's foolish. Can't believe you'd believe that. Paul knew this because he wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly, foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. So that's the first one. The hard soil, the trampled path. Nothing's penetrating this. But then he moves on to rocky soil. Starts in verses 5 and 6. He says this. He says, other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. He goes on to explain what these people are in verses 20 and 21. As for that which is sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, catch that, immediately he falls away. So these stony places, these rocky soils, were a common place in Palestine where Jesus would have been a great illustration. Oftentimes in the Palestinian soil, there would be a layer of limestone rock that covered or was underneath a thin layer of topsoil. So although the soil looked good, underneath was a bunch of rocks. And if they did nothing with the soil to see, this is what would take place. So the soil itself, it looks ready. It looks ready to be sown. cast some seed on that. The ground looks good. It looks productive. But when the seed is cast, it quickly springs up. It's promising something. Oh my goodness, there's a promising plant coming up. But because there's no depth, as soon as the sun beats down, it withers and dies, and it produces no fruit. This kind of soil speaks of a heart that knows nothing about repentance. They put their trust in Jesus for some social gospel. Just believe in him, you know, to get a better life. You don't have to believe the things of God's word. Just get your get out of jail free card. They have never been taught the genuine word of God, which says you must repent and believe the gospel. They just feel like if you go to church, you get to go to heaven. Or, I mean, isn't God just going to save everybody? Is that what the word of God says? These people may pick this book up, but they know nothing of what it says. This kind of soil speaks of someone who just does not understand the sin that put Jesus on the cross. Whatever happened to this person, they made a profession. But because they have no depth of their profession, when persecution or trials or the word of God gets put in their face to believe, to trust, to grow, they abandon God's word. They shrink away because of the radical claims of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus talks about this. He says to his disciples, if anyone's going to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Were these people saved? Jesus says no. Why? How do I know? Because there's no fruit. No changed life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is past to become, and behold, the new has come. These are those with rocky soil. A testimony. So the next one we have is thorny soil. Again, verse 7, just to remind, again, it says, other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Verse 22, as for what was sown on the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This soil looks again like it's ready to be sown, but underneath the surface are the living roots of thorns and weeds. When the seed falls here, it also springs up quickly, giving every indication there's a good harvest going to follow. However, the same ground begins to produce thorns and weeds, and they choke it out. The plant withers and dies without ever producing any fruit. This is a picture of a person who tries to have the benefit of the gospel, go to heaven, but they still cling to their sin. Again, sin's the problem here. I don't want to deal with my sin. Don't talk to me about sin. Just tell me that Jesus loves me. Sin's the problem. These people don't care about their sin. It's, again, a social gospel that they believe. you know, Jesus just came for everybody. You don't have to believe the word of God and what it says. This plant withers and dies. Jesus said it was because of the cares of the world and the quest for earthly riches that spelled disaster for this soil. This kind of person begins well, but they soon fade. Having their profession, remember, profession doesn't mean possession. Their profession's choked out by their sin. Were these people saved? Again, Jesus says no. How do you know? How do I know for sure? Because there is no fruit. Friend, if you have made a profession and there has been no change in your life, then you need to repent and call on Christ to save you. And if you're thinking, well, geez, I've been doing pretty good with my life right now. Okay, then you will stand before God with your profession. What soil did it go in? Because we come to the one that Jesus desires and the one he truly changes. And that is the last one, which is the fertile soil. I mean, you can be a great sower. You can cast the right seed. But it's the fertile soil that produces fruit. The genuine salvation of a genuine follower of Christ. Look at verse 8. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Jesus goes on to explain this soil in verse 23. As for what has sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it, and bears fruit. He yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Finally, some seed fell onto good ground. This ground had been worked. It had been prepared. It has been plowed. It's been tilled. It was ready for good seed. It reminds me of a couple just last couple weeks called me and said they put their faith and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This couple had gone, these two individuals had gone to church their whole life, but had never understood their sin, and it separated them from a holy God. And it's like they heard it, and they're like, you could just see that they were just so excited. They texted me and said they repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's good soil. They understood their need. They understood the words of Christ. He says, repent and turn to me. And they did. The seed germinated within the heart of the soil, and the plant begins to grow. When the plant begins to produce fruit, it brings honor. It brings glory to the farmer. This is a picture of a heart that has been plowed by the word of God. It is a picture of a heart that is tilled by the grace of God. When the seed of the gospel hits this kind of heart, it will bear fruit. This heart alone pictures someone who is genuinely saved. This soil represents the testimony among the four soils of someone who has a saved heart. As days go by, there will be more and more fruit from someone that has fertile ground. Jesus said this, by the way, in John 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. every branch in me that does not bear fruit. This is why we know that the parable, the only fruit that is saved is the one that bears fruit. Because what does Jesus say about the ones that don't? They don't bear fruit, he takes it away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. You gardeners, why do you prune your trees? So it gets more fruit. That's called discipline. That's a good thing for a believer. That it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Keep going. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in me. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire. That's a picture of hell. It's burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. How? That you bear much fruit. And what? So prove that you are my disciples. If some of you are angry right now thinking, well, no way. I was always taught that those different soils could be me and I'm still a believer. Then I tell you, listen to God's word. And maybe you are not saved. Listen, we don't come here. We come here to learn about what Jesus says. And sometimes it should make you feel a little bit like, because you know the Bible does say, examine yourselves and test whether you're in the faith. It's a good thing to do, by the way. So what's our application as we close? Well, the application really comes in the four different soils. We in this room represent one of the four soils. So the question you have to ask for application is this. What has been your testimony since hearing the words of Jesus? Listen, this isn't about being perfect. We, as followers of Christ, still sin. That's why Jesus had to come. So the issue isn't, do I need to be perfect? No. The idea is that when you put your faith and trust in Christ, you want God to continually be working in your life to root out sin. So what does a fruit of a believer look like? Well, number one, you become like him. You want to know if you're a genuine follower of Christ? You are trying to become like him every day. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 says this. But now that you have been set free from sin and you become slaves to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end is eternal life. In other words, if you put your faith and trust in Christ, he is continually making you look more like him and to root out sin. That's called sanctification. So you start to become more like him. Go back to the application. So you become like him. Number two, you want to know if you have any fruit? You start to behave like him. Not only do you become like him, you start to behave like him. How do you behave? Well, Galatians chapter 5 tells the believer, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You start to behave like him. As he begins to work in your life, these areas of your life flush out. When do they flush out? Well, they flush out in times when things aren't great. People aren't great. Situations aren't great. You are not dependent on yourself. You are constantly relying on Christ. And I can promise you, this is a promise from God. If you surrender daily for him to work in your life and put on the disciplines that God has placed in you. Prayer and fasting and giving and serving. If you do those things as a believer, he constantly reminds you how dependent you are on him. That's a good thing. And then fruit begins to grow. But if you cast away all the disciplines of the Lord that he does to help train you, and you're like, nah, I don't want to do those. Fasting? Give up something? No. Give? No. It's mine. Serve those little snot-nosed kids in the threes? Are you kidding me? You start to take away any of those disciplines in your life, you will start to see your fruit go away. And it's very quite possible, it's possible you've never had this fruit to begin with. And these lists, this behave like him, you can't behave like him. He's not in you. And then thirdly, you become burdened like Jesus was burdened. What was Jesus burdened to do? He was burdened to reach others. You want to know if you have good fruit? Do you even want to share with anybody what Jesus has done for you? When's the last time you actually told somebody what Jesus has done for you? Oh, no, I don't work with anybody. I work all by myself at home. Okay, well, have you ever had to call Quest to get your bill fixed? Yeah, anybody know that joke? I did that. That was not a good idea. Have you ever get gas at Quick Trip? I don't care. If you've been given the greatest gift of all time, which is the forgiveness of your sins, you gotta share it. The job of the sower is to sow. And the seed is the knowledge of what Jesus has done for you, which is found in the Word of God. You want to have fruit? You want to have a proof that you have fruit? Who are you sharing with? Do you even have a desire to share? As we conclude, this is what you have to answer. What has been your testimony since hearing the words of Jesus? And be honest. You can fool everyone around you, but you can't fool God. He has made it very clear in Scripture what needs to take place in the very hearts and the testimonies of everyone in this room. So let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder that when you plant the seed, the good seed of the gospel, in the hearts of those who genuinely understand what you have done for them, you will produce fruit. And God, I pray that your church would be the hands and feet of you, Jesus. That we would see people in two ways. Those that know you, we want to encourage. Those that don't know you, we want to share the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. So that they too can understand that salvation is found in you alone, Jesus. And God, I pray for any person in this room who begins to contemplate that you have touched their heart and that they have questions. And that's good. Like the couple last week. They wanted to put their faith and trust in Jesus, and it didn't matter what they'd been taught, what religion they grew up in. They just knew they needed Jesus to forgive them. God, do that work today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing a final song.